From the Opubco Studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Six Entertainment presents Podcast Don't Suck, featured here exclusively at lookatokc.com. Woo! Go ahead and clap if you'd like, Derek Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Yay!
I'm remembering to do this quick this week. Music provided by Mayola, again, the great band Mayola.
Woo! Mayola!
I like them. I'm a fan. If you want to hear more from them, go ahead and check out mayolamusic.net or myspace.com/Mayola. They're good guys. They just uploaded a new single or a new song at MySpace that sounds really good. So go ahead and check that out over there. Here it comes in. Let's go ahead and get into this. I am Dan O'Donohue. With me sometimes is Spencer Hicks. Boo. We got Brad Chad Porter over there.
Woo!
Woo! Look at him go.
Thanks, Brad.
Yes! We got Derek Smith sitting right here.
Hot!
Yes!
Show it to me.
Stop it, Derek.
Yeah!
Stop it, Brad.
Everybody cheers for me because they love me.
I like
they
love
me everywhere.
And then I like Derek better than Dan.
See?
And then, unfortunately...
I turned them all on you. I turned them all.
And then, as you can tell, Spencer is not here this week, and replacing him... Our special guest and producer, Mr. Nicholas Tankersley.
In case I didn't ruin last show well enough, I'm back to screw it up again.
He's back for more.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, I'm glad to have you back, Nick. It was fun last time. I want to keep the good times rolling.
Thanks. Well, to clarify, I'm always here.
Yeah, but...
Sometimes I'm behind glass.
But not here.
Right.
But not here. Let's go ahead and do the Look at OKC calendar powered by Wingo. It's a different sound effect every week this time, so no one knows how to react.
boom, shake.
That's a big lizard. Perfect. Derek, you want to go ahead and do our Wimgo pick this week?
Could it be? This week, I'm really excited.
Why?
Because I'm going to go to the Mondays Don't Suck show.
Oh!
What?
Oh. Another one?
Don't Suck show?
Tell us about it.
A local... comedy show produced by 796 Entertainment.
Correct.
Which is crazy how that works out.
Isn't
those guys are everywhere these days.
That's true.
Yeah, you can come on out. It starts at Speakeasy, 51st and Western.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts around 8:30.
That's right.
And, it's fun.
Mondays. Every Monday this summer.
Delicious food and great beers.
That's true.
How much should I bring for cover? 80? $95? It's like a Broadway show?
Some places.
You would think.
Because of the quality of the show.
$175 for orchestra seats, right?
Yes. Actually, please, and you can buy your ticket through Derek Smith.
Don't trust him.
Fantastic.
It's a con. Actually, Nick, it's, as always, as every week, it's free.
It's a
free comedy show. You're not going to find that anywhere else in the city.
It's recession-proof.
Except for Othello's every Tuesday. There's a free comedy show there, too. But on Monday nights, nowhere else in the city will you find a free comedy show.
That is correct. And this coming Monday night, we have Shane Parks and Daniel Puwarty.
Wow, that sounds like a good show.
I've never heard of Daniel.
He's from Stillwater. He's a great...
You got Vinny. Vinny's back in town, maybe. He might still be at the show. You got to come and find out. Don't touch his mic, please.
I'm gonna touch your mic.
You're not my dad.
So go ahead and come out to Mondays Don't Suck.
Mondays Don't Suck.
Okay, I want to go right into this Redbox pick of the week. This Redbox pick is important to me and is actually personal, and I was excited to find this. Let me go into what the film is. The film is called Fight Night, and in the seedy underground of illegal prize fighting, a corrupt boxing promoter is embroiled in a dangerous fight-fixing scheme with his female prize fighter.
Bam.
Rated R by the National Picture Association of America for violence, language, including sexual reference, and brief nudity.
Is this? Is it?
This is, Derek.
This is the movie?
This is Rigged. It was entitled Rigged when Derek and I worked on it. I actually worked on this film last summer. I worked on it for a little over 2 weeks, and Derek worked on it
one day.
He drove up and
almost got in the movie.
Oh, this was the one that was done in Tulsa.
No, this was done in Kansas City.
Oh, it's in Kansas City.
This is Kansas City, and
it was a poor man's Tulsa.
I will actually say that I'm really excited to see this movie, and I was wondering if it was the movie.
Yeah,
because
it's Rigged.
that whole scene that I should have been in,
right,
would have been way better if I had been in it.
Well, set it up now. You were there for one day, and it was a fight sequence under a bridge, and we were missing one of the fighter. Like, yeah. There's a female lead that I told you about, and then she was going to fight, like, this big guy.
Right.
And the guy was running late, and so the fight promoter, what did he do?
Oh, the fight choreographer was about the same size as me, and he was like, "Can you memorize these moves?" And I was like, "Yeah, I definitely can." Yeah, and they were like, "Well, we're waiting for this cage fighter to come over," and I was like, "Oh, well, okay. If he doesn't show up, I'm definitely in. I'll do whatever you want." And then the cage fighter showed up. Oddly enough, he's like 4 inches shorter than the girl.
Yeah.
So it actually looks like a girl beating up like a little boy.
Well, you said little boy. He was ripped. He was about 30 inches, like huge.
Well, height does a lot, though, for perspective on what.
Right.
Like,
and especially since the fight choreographer was 6'3".
Yeah,
he choreographed the fight to be 6'3". So
yeah, it didn't really fit. So Derek almost worked there on the movie for about 12 hours probably, and almost got in it. But it should. I don't know if it's any good. Like, it's at. I checked. You can, like, when you go to Redbox, you can put in your zip code, and it'll tell you if the film's actually available in your area. And it is. It's available all over Oklahoma City. And I don't know if I have a credit in it. I should. I really technically only worked on the reshoots, but there was a ton of reshoots. And so
may be credited?
I may be credited. I should be credited in the art department as like art department assistant or something like that. So.
Well, you're listed on IMDb.
I'm listed on IMDb.
So that, I mean, that would,
you would think that that would be a kind of a guarantee.
An indication.
Or an indication that I'd get in the credits, but it isn't necessarily.
Yeah. But does it say uncredited?
No,
IMDb.
It doesn't say uncredited.
Well, see, it should say that if you wouldn't be credited.
That's true.
That
so,
would make sense, but this is the real world, and things don't work out like that.
Working on a movie is not very gratifying, really.
No.
In the end, I've worked on two. Dan and I worked on one.
Right.
You bailed on us.
Took off.
Yeah, for good reason. But I've worked on two. And one was an independent feature that we did.
I worked on both of them.
Yeah, we worked on both, yeah. And then the other one was... The other one was one that we actually got paid for, and there was money, and there were people whose names you
there were
would
trucks
recognize.
That had Paramount written on the side of it.
Right, right. So, that movie's yet to come. Either of the movies I've worked on,
right,
have not come out, but that one hasn't. And it's just, you work on this stuff, and like, well, so you're at the premiere, and then there's no premiere. It comes out on DVD 4 years later,
right?
And you find out because you're drunk in front of a McDonald's at like 2 a.m. You're like, well,
hey, holy crap.
Land Before Time 11, Bigfoot's Prostate.
Well, I got to go.
Oh, my God.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. It is.
Well, I dress sets on Bigfoot's Prostate.
I don't know why they turned it. Never mind.
It looks good.
I got the name of the lead character in that movie wrong. It's Littlefoot. Littlefoot.
That's cute. Well, I did go to one premiere. I worked on a premiere.
Well, see, you threw me all off. I sounded dumb because of your misstep.
For those of you who listened last week, I am a hurdle to any real momentum that builds on this show.
That's true. All right, so that's your Redbox pick this week. Go look at a film, see if you can spot my name at the end of it. And it's actually won some awards, and the guy that directed it was like a hell of a dude. They made it on like a no budget, but it looks great.
Oh,
so,
yeah, the guy was really nice.
He was a great guy. And Jonathan Dillon was his name.
Yeah, he was the first guy to grab equipment off the truck and the last guy to put it on.
Yeah, he was like the general in like every great war hero, like the first to step onto the field. He really was. Like, he was everything that any good director/leader anything should be.
I was actually just reciting what his mom would tell me, because I never really got to meet him, but I hung out with her a lot.
He was a good guy.
Because she ran the concessions.
Well, he has the sound.
she was where the food was.
She was the crafty. Yeah, so you got to know her pretty well. It's a good show. Derek, you have a movie quote for us, do you not?
I do.
I'm pretty excited because we haven't done these for a while.
Movie quote.
Okay.
We just lost Nick. All right. Let's go ahead, Derek. If you got a movie quote for us,
did Nick just quit?
I don't know. No, he's back. Nick's back, ladies and gentlemen. He's back. All right, Derek.
I just realized that nobody was there to check the time.
That's a good point. Derek, go ahead with your movie quote.
Okay. The movie quote today is, do you know what I would like to do with them? Shower with them. Yeah. Then we hit the town. Bang. A little dancing, a little nightlife. Then we go back to our house. Huge party. Huge. Everyone's there. And then when the smoke clears, those two girls fall head over heels in love with us.
That's clearly...
Heartbeeps.
Yeah.
That's definitely Heartbeeps.
No. I think it's Night Shift. Schindler's List is Night
Shift. What's amazing about this movie quote is that it details the exact actions that the entire movie spirals out through. So if you just listen to what I said, I just told you the whole series of the movie.
That was foreshadowing.
Yeah. Weird Science.
Yes.
Heartbeeps.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hey, I got it.
Hey.
There you go.
I don't know if there's any reason to listen. We'll play it again at the end for S and G's.
We'll pick another choice movie quote out of Weird Science for the
end. Yeah, we'll do a special second movie quote from Weird Science at the
end. You guys better cowboy up because Dan's really leading this pack with one right answer.
That's not true. I mean, right now at this point.
Okay.
I've gotten some in the past, though.
I know. This is like a 10-pointer. The other ones are only 5.
Well, thanks. Good quote, Derek. I appreciate it. All right, there's a few things I wanted to talk about real quick. And the first question I have for us today is, do we care about making the world more, quote, green? Do we care?
Yes.
Do we care?
I care deeply. Because I'm a massive douchebag.
What does green mean? Okay, let's just start off. What do we define green as?
More energy efficient, less waste, things like
cheaper.
That. Cheaper.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily
better
cheaper.
Designed.
Wow. Better designed, more efficient. Okay, making the world more efficient.
Okay, so just making the world better.
Yes.
Okay, then yes, I'm on board with that.
But what?
But I mean, I'm just saying, if that's how you define it, yes, I will stand by it completely.
What is the definition of green that you don't get behind?
I don't get behind when they say when it's a product on a shelf and you're like, this is green toilet paper, which basically just means this toilet paper is not good enough to sell on its own. But so we gotta slap these fandangled to make you feel like you're doing something about your life.
And the thing is, like, you can if it says it's green, you can mark it up like another 90%. There's there's nothing that I've seen. There's not a single product that is it's called green that is cheaper than its wasteful, toxic counterpart.
Right.
Like, why is creating a bottle that leaks lead cheaper than just creating something that you can recycle? I don't get that. Like, how is that more? How is no? If you put lead and you know acid and carbon monoxide in it, it's like 25 cents. Well, how much will it cost if we actually make it recyclable and sustainable? Oh, like $14.
That's $14.
$14.
We don't have the kind of machinery to do that. It gets all gummed up. We just got to get a new machine every time. Yeah. It's really wasteful.
We have to call Alan. He's not there a lot. He never brings machines in on time.
Well, I think I'm for it, I guess. I'm not for it. It's a buzzword, and I know it is just now a term, just like a lot of other terms in the past.
Like
it's
low
literally
carb.
Just being, like low carb, like whatever. But it's a buzzword, so it's literally just being used to sell products, like you were saying, that otherwise would have different marketing.
I love the green conspiracy people. Have you heard about the people who think that global warming and like green initiatives are part of a large conspiracy? Al Gore being at the top of it, swear to God.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, Al Gore being at the top of it, it's a way to control the population to get them to buy into green like industry so that they can eventually own the entire manufacturing process all across the country so that they can outlaw capitalism. That's what a big one is, that this whole green initiative is very socialist. It's very communist.
It is.
It's all about being a huge follower, so they're going to outlaw capitalism, as though capitalism hasn't proven itself to be just as full of zombies and sick of fans as anything else. But it's just the craziest thing. I've spoken to people who have told me that they're making this stuff up. I've actually heard a brother of a friend of mine say that they are melting the ice caps on purpose. They're focusing, like using mirrors, and they're focusing energy. That's what
they're
the Hubble
using
telescope
their quote.
Does.
Yeah. Oh my
that's
god.
That's what
the
Hubble telescope does. It, like, it's focusing heat on the ice caps to melt them, so that they can flood. They're going to flood the coastlines. Don't ask me why.
Because we live in a James Bond film.
Because
they're going to flood
the coastlines, and now they've set up this reason for why they can do all this evil stuff, why they can control the population, how they can take over the world, and this green stuff is all just made up for.
Man,
there's like an essential reason in all conspiracy theories. It's you need it. It's the stress point that just doesn't exist that makes it unravel. Which is why would they want to flood the coastlines?
Like, why? Yeah,
you're just creating new coastlines.
Just,
you know, like, you're never going to flood all the coastline.
Well,
control. Just control.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think I'm going to get on board that.
I met a dirty person that, like, it changed my life. I was like, Grace, do you realize that you've pooped in your pants? And she was like, no, whatever. I'm going to go lay in my bed. And, like, it freaked me out. I was like, don't lay in your bed. You're going to get that smell all over your bed, and then you'll never get it out. Oh, my God, I got to go home, and I got to wash my sheets, and I got to clean my clothes. Because if I don't put a foot down right now, 10 years down the line, I don't know how long, I'm going to be Grace, and I'm just going to be laying in filth in my own bed, and I won't even care anymore.
You've been talking to the man in the mirror. That's brilliant.
Someone held up the
giant. This is a big day. Like, yeah. Apparently the big day was two months ago. But
I told you guys, but nobody really believed me, because I think I say that stuff a lot, but no, I shower every day.
Since this is a show about comedy, not a comedic podcast, I want to talk about something that's come up recently that we haven't yet talked about that I'm excited about, and that is Conan O'Brien taking over The Tonight Show.
First of all, we're a couple weeks in, and good job so far.
I'm having a great time watching. I've caught every episode.
Fantastic show so far.
Haven't seen a single one.
The David Duchovny interview was painful to watch.
I loved it.
That was very quiet, and just like, there's these moments, though, that you can see Conan O'Brien has where he's like, I can't go there with these people this time. And like, all of his guests want to go there because they're used to how the show used to run. And he's like, there are like people with their families who watch this now. I cannot follow them.
Yeah, there was a moment
trail.
Like that with Patton Oswalt too.
And McHale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where he was like, Like, didn't know how to say, don't talk like that on my new show.
Yes.
He kind of did. He kind of was like, I think he actually said, I want to keep this job for a little bit longer. Stop saying
balls. I think is what he kept saying.
Balls. Ball something. Ball cheers, I think, something like that. I still really like it. I was really curious as to how this transition would happen. Like, I didn't know if Conan was just going to be lost and he was just going to start being this mimic of Leno. But I still feel like it still very much is Late Night with Conan O'Brien, just in a new time slot. I mean, they're having to kind of tone it down a little bit, but the new segments, I think, are funny. His guests kind of suck. He's kind of getting his butt kicked by... I said butt.
No.
His butt kicked by Jimmy Fallon on guests. Jimmy's having great guests.
Well, examples, please.
Jimmy Fallon's had, like... let me think. He
Robert
had Jennifer
De Niro.
Robert De Niro, Jennifer Aniston, yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Younger.
What?
I'm just thinking like that last group was much more like targeted towards like a younger.
That's true. They are a younger group. I can't even think of them.
She's like 58.
She's smoking
hot. She's not
hot.
58.
Yeah, no, she's like 58.
You gotta stop that. That's not right.
He's just having some weird guests, some weird musical choices. But other than that, I think the show is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see what he does being on the Universal lot in LA. Like, I think he's gonna have a lot of fun with that. I don't know. I'm excited.
Show. Like, it's a great show, but it's not sort of turning out the way that I'd hoped. Because I was sort of like, I watched really carefully. We're not gonna talk about how old I am, but I watched really carefully when the last transition happened between Johnny
Steve
and
Allen.
Jay. Shut your mouth. Back when Jack Parr walked off the show.
Back when Jack Parr walked off in 1966.
And we had the big G.I. Joes. I don't know.
The transition from Carson to Leno.
And it was sort of heartbreaking to me as a fan of comedy that the show sort of lost that pinnacle point for stand-up comedy. Like, if you got onto The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, you made it.
Yeah,
was the indication that you were now an established stand-up comedian.
That still exists a little bit.
Well, not really.
Letterman really kind of took that mantle, though.
He sort of did, but it's not the same. Like, it's just not the same. It's not like, you don't think of it in a way like comics used to talk about going on The Tonight Show, and if Johnny had you come over and sit down, that meant... And now they sort of say if Letterman comes over and shakes your hand or whatever, but you never, like, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. You don't have that pinnacle moment in a stand-up comics career that you can go, this is when Johnny laughed at my joke and brought me over to sit on the couch.
But any one of those people can make your career in a heartbeat. Good example is Beyond the Pale, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah,
his career is due to David Letterman completely.
Quickly.
He's funny. He's really funny.
Oh,
no,
God,
But Letterman really liked him, and then immediately, like, his career just
Boom. In years, yeah, in a matter of like a few years, he went from open mic to film.
You see how more like technical and business like that is. Like
I think it's always I think it's always like that.
Much more, you know? There's not a moment you get to see. Like you don't get to see somebody become a stand-up comedian on television anymore.
There was also no Comedy Central. There was like the outlet for comedy on television has also changed significantly.
That's true.
I mean, it's changed stand-up comedy. I mean, like you can be a dirty comic now because there are plenty of places for you to have an outlet with cable. And
it was the same thing with the HBO special. The HBO special used to be like you got your HBO special and then that was when you hit, like that's when you stopped booking small clubs and flying around. You worked like arenas and theaters and stuff like that, and that's kind of changed too.
That was kind of your ladder. Your ladder was, I've made it when I'm on the Tonight Show. If Johnny likes me, I'm that much better. And then you know, I am one of the elite 10, 12 comics in the country, in the world, if I get my own HBO special. And that's not really true anymore. Because now, you know, nothing against Flight of the Conchords or Louis C.K., but they are not, you know, they're not the elite in comedy.
I can make a fair argument.
They are my favorite. I mean, Louis C.K. is my favorite working stand-up comic.
Is as close to as funny as George Carlin as any other person on the planet.
I think that's true, too. But he's not Jerry Seinfeld. Like, he's not Robin Williams. He's not.
Okay.
He's not on that stratospheric level of guys who got blow.
He doesn't. Not a blow.
Gosh. Yeah, he doesn't kind of span that multi audience sort of sphere of.
Right. He's like, got a
my
very.
My dad's not coming up and going, see the new Louis C.K. thing? He's hilarious.
You used to have that to get an HBO special.
What show was that?
You used to have that to get an HBO special.
I was watching a film the other day, and I saw Louis C.K. as practically an extra. And this is a recent film. He was playing a garbage man, or no, a security guard, and they never showed his face. It was Role Models. He was in Role Models.
Was he really?
Yeah, and they didn't even really show. I went and checked on IMDb. He's credited as security guard, but he's got kind of like a very like recognizable posture and hair. Mm-hmm. Hairline and color, and so I was like, "Is that Louis C.K.?" And then they kind of showed his face once. I was like, "That is."
I was
waiting for him to have like a shot and a line, and he never did. He might in like have been cut
on the DVD. There's a deleted scene
with Louis.
Pretty awesome. Like, I don't know how you get it cut.
It makes me feel better because I just thought he was like, "I need the work. I need the $100 a day to be an extra."
No. There was a scene.
Long story short, Conan O'Brien's doing pretty well on the.
He is doing pretty well.
I think you give him some time to get comfortable in like his new role. And
let his audience get comfortable too, not just him, but I mean, let America become.
But see,
comfortable
I think Conan has an opportunity to be a Johnny Carson. Like, I think over time he has the opportunity to sort of be that place where stand-up comics can get that kind of credibility again.
Well, because Bill Burr was on it the other night. Did you see Bill Burr on it?
I didn't see him. I love that.
That was really good.
It was really good and funny.
And the audience wasn't with him at all.
Not one bit.
Did he do? Was it just?
They keep the lights
interview,
on?
Or did
it
he
was,
go up and do
just did stand up?
Oh, see, I want to see more stand up on these shows.
He replaced the band.
It's almost gone.
He replaced the band. Like, they didn't do a musical number because Bill Burr finished the show, and I thought it was a great changeup. Like, I wish they did it two or three times a week.
That would be great. And that's how you get there. But I think what I was saying a minute ago is the reason that I think Conan has the potential to be the next Johnny Carson is because he was a writer and then was a talk show host.
Yeah.
And so, like, the vast majority of his career has been standing up in front of, you know, the TV camera and delivering that monologue. And there's just a lot of credibility that comes with that. I mean, just people sort of look to you to know what's good.
You know what I think?
I think it can happen.
But tumbling acts. Acts with people tumbling around. Vaudeville, you know the story.
People tumble around.
I think the transition went exactly as I thought, completely unnoticed by me. Didn't watch Leno, don't watch Letterman, don't watch any of them because they won't let me on their show.
Well, you should. It was good. You missed out on a big moment in TV history.
And what about that set? Holy crap.
His new set is gorgeous.
Sparkly.
Oh, my God.
It is quite sparkly.
Oh, golds and blues and reds, and you're like, oh. It's the perfect set. Like, I can't look. I wouldn't change a thing. It's beautiful.
Well, good thing.
Well, sometimes, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. All right, Spencer is obviously not here. Thank God. Am I right?
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you like what? I didn't listen to last week's podcast.
I missed you, what? Spencer.
Like I didn't hear what you got, that you guys voted us off the show.
You did. You got voted off the show. You got voted off the show. We brought you back because we're a caring and loving
Was
God.
This like a probation period? Or
no. They brought us back,
Brad, because I know all the bank account codes, and there's a very specific reason.
That's
and
why.
And because you've been cheering for me. I brought you back, too.
Hey, brought you back.
That works for me.
That's kind of right, I guess.
That works for me. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how to crap on Spencer since I found out that he wasn't going to be with us. Like, what will be the mode of my crapping? I figured it out.
Okay, I want to hear what you're saying. What is it?
I got a joke of the week.
Oh goodness gracious.
The new and improved joke of the week.
You are taking... Oh, my gosh. He's going to be pissed. He's going to be pissed. This is his thing.
Hey, and I ain't giving it up
either.
This is
all he has.
He wants to come back and tussle. We'll tussle next week.
For those who don't know Spencer, outside of the show or even inside the show, he doesn't have much of a personality. There's not a lot to offer. He dresses kind of nice. He does pretty nice, actually. And
he's a very considerable roommate.
If you're into that preppy conservative
look. I mean, it's like listening to the wind blow on a calm afternoon when you talk to him.
Well, Spencer, I'm taking your joke of the week, and you got to fight to get it back.
We usually do a song for Spencer. Should we do a song for you?
I believe it should be a longer, louder song.
Brad's joke of the week is better than Spencer's joke of the week.
We'll find out.
All right, fellas. Two old men are sitting on a park bench talking about how old they are. And the one guy says, how old are you? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you. And the other guy says, all right, well, I'll guess. And he's like, okay, take your shot. And he says, yeah, can I get you to stand up for me? The old guy stands up and he's like, can I get you to pull your pants down? And the guy's like, we're in a park here, fellow. I'm not pulling my pants down. He's like, go, just do it. So the old guy's like, fine, I don't have anything to hide. So he pulls his pants down. He's like, I want you to bend over and stick your finger in your butt. He's like, I'm not doing that. There are children here. He's like, just do it. He's like, you know what? Fine. So he does it. He goes, you're 95. He goes, holy hell, how did you know that? You told me yesterday.
Senility. Senility and sodomy. I love it.
Put those together, you got a joke. Well, that was nice, Brad. What?
There's something that I like to do, too.
What do you
it's
like to do?
It's my thing. I have a thing.
Well, first of all, wait. Is that... No. Did you only do... You only brought the one there?
I only need one.
No.
Ooh.
Brad Chen.
Spencer usually brings two.
Brad Chen.
What do you like to do?
One joke of the week.
Just one joke.
It's a little thing. It's sweeping the nation.
Okay.
Kids are playing it at home.
Right.
At the Sweet 16s. At the coming out parties. At the sock hops. At the fiestas.
Right. In the 50s.
It's called... What am I rubbing the microphone against?
This is one of my new favorite. Let's give him a quick applause. What is Nick?
It's very simple. The rules are easy to follow. It's somewhat intuitive. All I'm going to do is have you guys turn around so you can't see me as I take this microphone and press it against a part of something, someone perhaps. And then based on the sound alone, you have to tell me what it is I'm rubbing the microphone against.
I'm excited.
Dan, turn around. Are we ready?
I'm covering my eyes. Let's do this.
Okay, here we go.
Is that it?
Would you like to hear it again?
No. Yeah.
No, we're good.
One more time.
One more time, but slower.
All right.
Okay. What am I rubbing the microphone against?
I don't want us all to guess. I want to collectively. What do we think it was? I'm going to think it was. God, it was solid sounding. It wasn't scratchy like last week. It was solid.
It was very solid. It was like he was pressing something against. Like I think it's his belly.
I'm going to guess his shoulder blade.
I'm
going to go with shoulder blade. I'm going to go with his chest.
Okay.
Belly.
Shoulder blade. Chest. Okay.
Abstract notion of justice.
Oh, oh,
dang it!
Oh, man.
I could tell it was firm, but like forgiving.
Yeah. So forgiving, not concrete.
Not concrete. A lot of gray area.
Right.
I could hear a lot of gray area.
Very philosophical. Had a very philosophical sound to it.
Well, thank you for that.
Abstract notion of justice.
Thank you for that, whatever we called that bit. You rubbing against.
What am I rubbing the microphone against?
There it is. Thank you for that, Nick.
Or, to be grammatically correct, against what am I rubbing the microphone?
Question.
That's the new name of the segment. Against what am I rubbing the microphone?
Against what?
Perfect. All right, Derek, let's do one more quote. This show is like an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking forward to editing it. Derek, do you have... Let's do one other just for S&Gs, as I said. Let's do another quote from Weird Science. Let's go ahead and play that right now.
I give her Wandigious mammary glands.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Hilarious quotes.
Lisa, you rascal.
God. Where did she go, by the way?
She got old and unattractive.
Really? Is she that unattractive?
Have you seen her?
Could she be? No, I haven't seen her since.
She was on like, wasn't she on like Celeb Reality
or
something?
One of those.
Well, Celebrity Fit Club.
Kelly LeBrock.
I'll guarantee you her picture, as old and ugly, will be the picture that is featured on this podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Nick. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up because it's been long enough. And it was a roller coaster ride, but I had a great time.
What? My God, we've done this for 3 weeks. I got to make an announcement.
What?
I have to make an announcement.
Okay.
I promised that I would. Newly available, ladies and gentlemen, Campus Girls USA swimsuit calendar for sale. $11.99 a piece.
Where is this? What is this? What are we talking about?
Yeah. It's a 16-month calendar, 12x12 large format. You get a free 24x26 double-sided poster of the 2009 football season dates and the NCAA basketball bracket for whatever conference you choose. Covered with the girls. ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Big East, Pac-10, and SEC. Tons of girls, 84, three per page. 100% of the profit goes towards breast cancer research.
That sounds like a perfect thing.
Go to www.campusgirlsusa.com/pre-order.php?ref=167920.
Okay, and if you don't,
SQL query strings.
If you didn't write all of that down, here's a simpler address: http://lnk.ms/07yv7.
Edit this, jackass.
So if you need more information, you can contact Morgan Woolard via Facebook. You can add her; she'll add you.
Morgan Great. Woolard. All right. So thanks again to Mayola for letting us use their music this week, and as always, thanks again to Look at OKC for letting us record these in
Yay!
Their beautiful facilities. And
Yay!
Make sure to visit 796entertainment.com for updates from everybody you see in this room, except for me, because I am functionally illiterate.
You do some blogs on there. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah,
Nick will do a blog
every
once in a while.
You did the London Bridge blog. It was my favorite so far.
That's right. We got a lot
Thanks,
of funny
Brad.
Funnies over there. All right. So for whatever it's worth.
I got to get into a show. Hurry.
I've been Dan O'Donohue. With me has been Spencer Hicks sometimes. Brad Chad Porter.
Yes.
There he is.
Yes.
Derek Very Smith hot. Sitting over there.
That's Woo! The man. The man.
And then Derek also this week T-man. We got Nick Tankersley.
I'm Yay! Changing my name to Derek Smith officially.
And this has been Podcast Don't Suck.
Balls are flying.
Dodge it.